And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. And joining us on the line is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, I trust that you've had a good break out on the west coast of Canada?
I have. Mm-hmm. Typical weather, but I got a little steelhead fishing in last week. That was fun on the island.
Okay, great stuff. Now, we used your favorite song from the Surf Lords, by the way, to get the show rolling today. That song being Cape Town. We'll hear a little bit more at the end of the program. For this edition of the program, Mickey, we decided to focus on nitrogen. Transparent, odorless gas forms about 78% of the Earth's atmosphere. What else can you tell us?
Yes, nitrogen, very important gas in our atmosphere. Number 7 on the periodic table and 7th most abundant in the universe, the galaxy, the solar system. Although it is of low abundance in the Earth's crust, about the 31st most abundant element, a diatomic gas. It liquefies at about minus 200 degrees C. That's important. It's got two stable isotopes. Nitrogen 14 comprises about 99.6 of nitrogen. It absorbs UV radiation, but not infrared and visible radiation, and that protects us from the atmosphere, allows life to permeate the Earth, and it also combines with oxygen to form nitrous oxide, and that leads to the polar auroras.
Yes, beautiful light show up north.
Yeah, or down south.
Or down south, yes. I understand it was first discovered by a Scottish physician named Daniel Rutherford in the late 1700s, but in fact, nitrogen compounds were well known a long time before that. They were well known by the Middle Ages.
Well, they certainly were. It occurs as rare minerals. Potassium nitrate called saltpeter, sodium nitrate, a rare mineral called sol ammoniac, which occurs, is an ammonium chloride occurs around volcanic vents. But yes, it was known from earliest recordings in 1270, a book by a Syrian chemist, mining engineer type, and by the alchemists. Nitric acid was called strong H2O, and of course they knew it because when combined nitric acid with hydrochloric acid, it forms royal H2O, which is aqua regia dissolves gas. Was called by Rutherford noxious air. Some other names we would recognize: Scheele, Cavendish, Priestley, chemists that we've talked about before called it burnt air. Lavoisier called it azote or mephitic air, which means lifeless. It was named by another French chemist, nitrogen, in the late 17, early 19th century. And from the Middle Ages was used for military, industrial, and agricultural purposes. Saltpeter is the component of gunpowder used as a food preservative and also as fertilizers.
Yeah, and we had mentioned the early uses, you know, going way back to the Middle Ages. I'm seeing that nitrogen in the form of ammonium chloride was produced in Egypt by heating a mixture of animal excrement and urine.
The sources of this historically before the mid-1800s was saltpeter, known from back guano caves or the so-called French or Swiss methods, which used wood ashes, dung, and urine to make saltpeter. In 1804, a very famous explorer, von Humboldt, for who the Humboldt Current is named, discovered bird guano in the islands of Peru, took it back to Europe, and it became quite the rage for fertilizers. And from 1840s to the 1870s, bird guano from Peru dominated the world market, really the first large agricultural mines. They were soon mined out by 1870s. Then nitrate deposits were discovered in the Atacama Desert of the west coast of South America. By 1900, there was a process invented to fix atmospheric nitrogen, called a Frank Carroll process. This was soon replaced by something which we know today as the Haber process, which converts atmospheric nitrogen and nitrogen gas to essentially ammonia, and led to the rise of the German chemical conglomerate and electronic conglomerate called BASF.
Well, in fact, I think the largest use of nitrogen today is used in the production of ammonia, isn't it?
Well, most certainly, 450 million tons a year. That's huge. Consumes. It's made with natural gas, so anhydrous ammonia, ammonium nitrate, urea. Farmer like me would be familiar with all these products. Uses up 4% of the world's natural gas demand, approximately 1.5% of the world's annual energy output. So this is a major industry, and it's really mainly used for agricultural fertilizers, inorganic fertilizers, increase the productivity of land since 1900, along with mechanical means of farming, of course, four times land productivity. And we use about 15% of the world's land for agricultural purposes.
Yeah, I'm seeing that nitrogen in gas form also used as in the semiconductor industry in some way as a protective shield or something like that. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah, it's an inert gas that prevents oxidation, so it's used for a variety of products, food preservative, light bulbs, incandescent light bulbs, because it's cheaper than argon. Used in to make headier beers and beer kegs for your English stouts and ales and Irish stouts. I'm sure Guinness is a keg of Guinness has nitrogen in it. Increasingly used as a benign way for euthanasia. Also used in liquid form as a refrigerant, cryogenic preservation. If you've ever had a wart, you go to the doctor and get it removed with liquid nitrogen because it causes frostbite. Used to cool big computers, laboratory cold traps, etc.
I've also said that I've seen, Mickey, that oil companies use it to help force crude oil to the surface.
I'm certainly think that would work. You know, they commonly use CO2, but I was unaware that nitrogen is used as a secondary recovery method, but it makes sense.
Lots of this stuff around, Mickey.
We have no shy of lack of abundance of nitrogen. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, no lack of abundance. What about total production in the form of to make ammonia? How much ammonia is produced globally around the world?
Well,
do we know?
450 million tons a year.
You mentioned that earlier.
Most of that is used for fertilizer, though. Yeah. Also used in explosives and propellants. We probably all heard about ANFO. Ammonium nitrate and fuel oil used to as explosives, especially in mines, also by terrorists. Nitroglycerin, dynamite, these are all things that are explosive that contain nitrogen. Used in medicines, laughing gas, nitrous oxide, all alkaloids, opiates contain nitrogen, all major classes of antibiotics. Nitrate drugs.
Yeah, and if we go so far in terms of the use of this stuff in agricultural uses, Mickey, this can cause a bit of a problem as well in terms of the runoff water from farmers' fields. You know, that stuff gets into streams and lakes. You got a bit of a pollution problem.
Well, you do, and the real biggest pollution problems are areas in the ocean, the dead zones, and some dead zones would include around the Mississippi River, the Nile River in Egypt, the Black Sea, etc. which are essentially man-made dead zones from the application of fertilizers. Less so now in rivers and streams because people are aware of this. Used to be a problem in individual wells. Could produce a problem with babies called blue babies because they didn't get enough. Those nitrates would interfere for processing of oxygen. But that said, it's nitrogen is essential life. It's the building blocks of all life with proteins and amino and nucleic acids, comprise about 4% of plant matter, 3% in all animal matter. It's essentially non-toxic, and it is one of the world's major industries of fixing of atmospheric nitrogen.
Okay, well, perhaps we should wrap it up on that note, Mickey. Next time out will be the first show of the new year, the first show for 2016. What do you want to take a stab at?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about nitrates and some ideas about the process, historic process of how nitrates became such an important part of modern day society. And we'll delve into some things on will the world run out of these natural resources, and compare the Malthusian versus the cornucopian views of the world.
Okay, heavy duty stuff coming up indeed for 2016. We got the Surf Lords in the background. Mickey, let's wrap it up. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Happy New Year, Rob.
Happy New Year to you too, sir. That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.